Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to HelloFresh for supporting The Instance. Go to HelloFresh.com/WOW14 and use the code WOW14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Instance for Friday, July 23rd. It's not June anymore. It's July 23rd, 2021. It's Scott Johnson here, and I'm joined by special guest, friend of the program, fellow Frog Pantheon, and gamer extraordinaire, Mr. John Jagger. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Oh, if only it was still June. And the worst thing we had to worry about was, what do we think of Sylvanas cutscenes?
Yeah, right? We could say, yeah. Sylvanas, you and your cutscenes, we'd say. John joins us as standing in for Garrett this week, who is finishing his vacation. He'll be back next week. So excited to have him back and hope he's having as relaxing a time as possible for someone that co-hosts and hosts a number of Blizzard-based podcasts. He'll be back. Don't worry. And more to say on that toward the end of this discussion, because we'll also have Patrick joining us soon to talk about the recent goings on. But when I talked to John, I knew about the vacation. I was like, hey, you know what we ought to do? We've got this new shift on the show where we're kind of, you know, pulling things out and covering other games in the MMO / sort of grindy game space. And John's super way into Final Fantasy 14, as are a lot of people apparently right now. And so much so that we talk about it almost every week on our show Core. And if you've heard Core, you've heard a lot of what we have to say about that game there. But I think going from 0 to 60 on what that game is, what they're doing, are they doing things right that others can learn from? Is this all just a matter of timing and they're just the best option for a lot of offshoots and expats leaving World of Warcraft? Like, there's a lot to sort of pull apart there, as well as talk about what systems keep you there, what things are maybe wrong with the game you'd like to see change. So we'll get to all of that. But I guess what I wanted to say was, if you want to hear a slightly deeper dive, because Bo was with us on all of this Blizzard stuff, keeping in mind that all of us in some way or another were brought together in and around Blizzard game minutia. Like this, and we talked about this on Core. Like, I don't know these guys without Blizzard. There's a lot of people I don't know without Blizzard. And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen without my shows having to do with Blizzard content. And we went pretty hard and deep last night. So if you want to, that sounded terrible. If you want to go listen to that, I highly recommend it. That's over at you can find it anywhere you find your podcast. But if you want to get to it right away, just head on over to frogpants.com/core. And you can also see what we think about Dead Space coming back, because we do stuff like that on there as well. All right, John, the elephant in the room. Let's kick it right in the trunk. I'll give you the basics. So some of this, again, very repetitive of what we went over last night. I've warned you all enough. If you've heard this, maybe you don't want to hear it again. Skip ahead to when we talk about Final Fantasy. But here's the deal. Activision Blizzard was sued by the state of California for rampant sexual harassment and gender discrimination. It covers everything from generalized discrimination, malpractice, when it comes to hiring, pay equity, that sort of thing, all the way down to very specific claims of really heinous and atrocious behavior by some at the company, some of whom were in very high positions at the company at the time, and possibly still there. This is after a 2-year investigation. It is an investigation I have to think Blizzard was aware of. We didn't talk about this last night much, but you don't really have that kind of investigation and do discovery without Blizzard knowing that. It just doesn't work that way. So they've known about it. The more I think about it, the more it bugs me that they didn't have their own damn investigation and suss the stuff out themselves. But because of this entire thing, we have all kinds of new perspectives applied to stuff we already know about departures from the company. In particular, this lawsuit goes really hard and awful in a section of it that talks about the actions of one particular employee, Alex Afrasiabi, who at the time was head of Franchise Story, and or before he left, he disappeared kind of quietly and mysteriously right around the time COVID hit, and nobody really talked about it much. He is called out specifically for some really, really awful behavior in this thing. And it doesn't end there. And there's stuff, like I said, going from like things that could maybe be handled on an accounting level to say, oh, yeah, we are. We do have a pay disparity. We didn't notice. We need to fix this, all the way down to, yeah, a lady committed suicide while on a company trip because her supervisor was awful and did terrible things. So here's some of the short of it. OK, quotes from the actual article. Video game giant Activision Blizzard Incorporated, maker of games including World of Warcraft, Diablo, and so on, fosters a frat boy culture in which female employees are subjected to constant sexual harassment, unequal pay, and retaliation, according to a lawsuit filed by the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. One quick note here, you don't do that 2-year investigation, and you don't come out with these charges if you don't mean business from a government entity like that. Because what could happen is, if this was baseless, Blizzard could turn around and sue them for libel. And they know that. And it would be a giant mess. This is a serious thing you don't do haphazardly. This isn't walking to some, you know, ambulance chaser style lawyer and saying, hey, I think I want to go sue somebody for a thing. And then you just kind of wing it. That's not what this is.
Right. This isn't a bunch of people getting up in arms because somebody did a twit longer post. No, like, no. I've seen a lot of people say, well, these are all just allegations at this point. And sure, that's technically true. But we're talking about a 2-year investigation. We're talking about a state level lawsuit. And we're talking about, I mean, honestly, I think the most shocking things I saw was so many people whose reaction was, yeah, I had heard about stuff like this. I was wondering when it was going to come.
Oh, they're coming out of the woodwork now. I mean, I'm getting Discord messages from people who I had no idea ran into some problems with these people and did so in ways that I just like, are you kidding? I didn't expect to know so many of the victims. Like, I know these people, these women in particular, who are some of the greatest human beings I've ever had contact with. They were amazingly professional, and They were everything for my experience in dealing with Blizzard in a lot of cases. Like, if I'm working with PR or going through whatever channels needed to happen to get an interview or whatever, it was the women in those professional positions that made me feel like, okay, we can get this done. We're going to be on time. We have the information we're supposed to have. There was an incredible efficiency to all of that. It just spoke volumes about the kind of people that they were. They were amazing people. And to find out that some of them are victims here and some of the heinous shit they had to deal with really set my face on fire. I haven't been this mad. I've been this mad maybe ever. It's just about as angry as I've been in the last few days. Not sleeping great. You know, boo-hoo, Scott's not sleeping great. But what I'm telling you is I have the kinds of connections. I have connections to this company and the kinds of feelings I've had for over the last 20 plus years. It's not even just the time I've been doing shows, that all of that gets shaken in one day like that. There's going to be personal repercussions. Like, I'm just kind of a mess about it. It's bad. Now, yeah. I will tell you this before I read on here. And again, forgive me if I'm repeating stuff from yesterday. I don't know. Like, honestly, a lot of that stuff we talked about yesterday is a bit of a blur. So if I'm repeating things, I apologize.
No, that's fine. It's new to somebody.
Had we not made the changes that Garrett and I made to the show moving forward about 2 weeks ago to say, look, we're making a change. We're not going to be WoW or Blizzard focused anymore. They'll still be in there, but we're going to pull it out and do more coverage, broader coverage. Like today, Labor, we're going to talk about Final Fantasy. Last week, we did a deep dive with Alex into New World, and it's closed beta and all that. And, you know, unbeknownst to us, this was going to drop. We didn't know that. Well, had I not made those changes already, if that wasn't in place, I think today would have been the farewell show. I think this would have been it. And I would have just gotten on the air and said, well, it was a hell of a run, you guys, but can't support this stuff anymore. And could I have made a decision then to say, well, we're going to change the show now. This is now when we're going to do it. Maybe, but I'm not sure I'd have like the level-headedness to do it. I've been so freaking angry about this.
Yeah. You made the decision at a more even keel.
Yeah.
Before the boat got rocked.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, whoa, way to go, Scott. Or no, somebody put a tweet out today that said, the instance, we're going to talk about other games more than just Blizzard games. Blizzard, hold my beer. Because basically, they made it impossible for us to ignore this, and I hate every reason why it's impossible to ignore. I hate it. I really freaking hate it. But I'll tell you what, I'd hate more. So here I go. All right, I'm just going to go. Here's what I'm going to say. Look, I hosted their Q&A this year. I hosted it in 2018. I've had close friends in and outside that company forever. I have been a fan of Blizzard content and games since as long as I can remember in gaming. It's in my DNA to love those games. It just is. And this is not acceptable in any form for me. John had a really, really good thing he said yesterday on Core, and we may repeat that today, about how people are going to react differently. Some people are going to hear this and just say, that's it. Cancel WoW. Cancel this. Never buying Diablo. Like, I'm never touching any of this stuff again. And that's a totally reasonable and, you know, it's a choice they can make and do. Other people are going to say, oh, man, well, WoW's my only escape, so I'm going to keep playing that. But boy, am I mad at management. And there'll be a whole other kinds of people in different areas that are like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just playing these games. Like, there's probably some Overwatch player right now that hasn't even heard of this, for all we know. I don't know. But for me, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I don't want anyone to take this as Scott's prescription for everyone. Okay? This is not me telling you how to react or how you should live your life or how you should do anything in the shadow of this mess. But I cannot, in good conscience, spend another dime their direction or spend another minute talking about their games until they openly and transparently and positively freaking fix this clean house and get the shit out of there. They have to do that or I am done. All right. Now, you may hear that and just go, well, that's like any product you want to boycott because you don't like that. Yeah, it kind of is, but there's this one difference. I'm imprinted on this stuff. Like, I'm in the game. There's an item named after me. Like, it's not just simply, like with Ubisoft, it was me going, oh my gosh, Ubisoft, get your shit together. I'm not going to buy any of your games for a while, but let's do it. But the personal thing about it wasn't there. The personal stab is not there with them. And I realized that that is also kind of bad. It should enrage me equally. But this is how things are. It's like, you know, a whole lot of people, what do they say? A whole lot of people dying is a statistic, but if it's someone you know, it's a tragedy. Or I don't know how the phrase goes.
Probably yeah, the other way around. It's something like that. It's the same principle.
It's a little like that. I'm just so close to this. It's impossible for it not to just be devastating in my own personal way. And it's devastating for everybody and not nearly as devastating as it is for the people who are victims in this.
You're describing is a lot of what I'm sure people on the inside are feeling, because you're feeling it from a perspective of I stood on those panels. They invited me into their world. They pulled me in a little bit and said, hey, be a part of things, be a part of this. And they, you know, putting an item named after your character in the game, like they kind of brought you in and you feel a little bit of like belonging and not ownership of the game, but you feel more connected to it.
Yeah.
And so I understand that. And then you think about, okay, well, there's a lot of employees there that are feeling probably that same way too. Some maybe didn't even know this sort of stuff was going on and they just woke up and found out this way. Some people, even worse, had to go through it and knew it all along and didn't feel safe talking about it. So it's a thing where there are a lot of victims to this and there are a lot of people being impacted, all the way from the people directly impacted all the way to the players. And everybody is going to have to find their own personal way to cope with that. And I think one of the most important things we can do is try to support each other, because what we need to learn is we need to stop trying to feel bad because we were slightly less impacted and stuff like that. We need to accept that there's a lot of victims here and we need to take care of each other. We need to take care of people from the the most impacted to the least impacted. And if you know somebody that's going to keep playing WoW because that's where their social structure and that's where they've made friends and connections and met people they care about, if they're going to keep playing, don't hassle them for that. That's their decision and that's their right, and that's something that they should get to do. And if you have somebody that's like, you know what, I've been too connected to this, I care too much, like I can't, I got to walk away from it, that's okay too. We need to support those people. We need to keep in mind that there are good people working at Blizzard trying to make the best game they can. We need to give them support. We shouldn't be telling people, quit your job. Which is sadly a thing that's happening. Like, we might be, in the name of trying to stop harassment, harassing the very people that have been having to live through this. Yeah. So the most important thing we can take away from this is just have some compassion for each other. Understand that we are all being victims to some degree of the actions of what these people have done, and let's have empathy for everyone about it.
Yeah, I agree. That's really well put. And to that end, like I say, I don't want to prescribe anybody. This is not me trying to set some standard, but I personally can't do it. There's like 10 realities where Scott Johnson was 100% going to get Diablo 4, but there's an 11th where he wasn't, and this is it. I don't think I can do it. Not now. Not this moment. Now, they want my support, and they want my whatever that is, whatever my $60 buys anyone in this world today. Then they're going to have to show it. They'll have to show that work and really show that work. Like, not just halfway it, not just sort of do it. It has to be out in the open. It has to be in the sunlight. And right now they're not showing very many signs of that. The only two statements we've had was a really one of these J. Allen Brack statements that just doesn't say anything. And yeah, we're used to those, but that just, and this was your time, dude. If there was a time, it was now. And the other one is from lawyers from within Activision, which basically discount the charges and act like it's nothing. Now, I am right now, like currently, not in the show because we're live, but right before the show, was having a back and forth DM with somebody who I think very highly of at the company, who is still there, who's one of the people who is victimized in this situation. And I already know. I know that it's what happened to her and people like her is real. I know it's real. So for them to discount it like this, really disheartening today. Like, today would have been the day for them to reach down and find a way to be freaking human beings and do right by this. And right now they are not. And it's also very contradictory to what internally people are saying. For example, a guy like a lot of Blizzard, his name is Steve DeNuzer. He's narrative lead on World of Warcraft and does most of the narrative design. Super smart, creative guy. He said this morning, like many of you, our team's been going through a mix of outrage and sorrow and hurt. Been listening to one another, looking after our friends, and finding out ways to support and care for each other. Now we all ought to roll up our sleeves and fix this shit as a company, as an industry. 100%. That's what employees are saying. Why isn't management freaking saying that? And I know it's a thing to say, well, every business is like this. All industries have this problem. I know they do. And I know that the games industry is hitting a bit of a maturation moment where it's just out in the open and it seems bigger than maybe it is compared to other industries. I don't know. But to me, it doesn't matter. This is a break the camel's back moment. Up till now, it's been, well, Riot was in trouble. They got a bro fist for a logo. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to look at them and go, all right, mature up, guys. It's time. You're a big enough company. Quit being a bunch of immature weenies. You look at Ubisoft and go, well, maybe you're too all over the globe and you got management problems and nobody knows what's up or down. And so, you know, just tighten it up over there, Ubisoft. You can get there. This happens. I'm like, Blizzard's all up in this? Well, then what do we do? It has to freaking end, man. It has to end. And I can't spend another dime their direction. And I'm saying this about Blizzard. I don't want to understate this. This would be a lot like, I don't know. I don't even know what to compare it to. Imagine being so devoted to a certain kind of thing for a really long time. And then being forced in your own, you know, in your own minutia to just pull away That's what I have to do. I have to freaking do it. So, again, I'm not saying anyone else has to do anything. What I'm saying is, if I have any influence at all, I'm going to use it to back these people who were victimized. You know, even just knowing that I shared a stage with Alex, knowing what he was up to, I had no idea. Nobody knew. No one on the outside knew about this because nobody was talking about it. J. Allen Brack knew, and he let it go, or he didn't do enough. And now Alex is in Hawaii living large off, you know, millions of dollars made into a golden parachute like we talked about last night and having the time of his life. It ain't right, man. And meanwhile, there are people up there who are A, afraid for their jobs, B, not sure where the next one's going to come from, C, in an industry that's got this problem in general. And now they've got nobody does this for any reason other than it's the right thing to finally do. Nobody comes out with these stories to screw around with the company. There's so much self-harm that can come from that bravery, and they need to be backed up. They need to be held high. They need to be supported in every way we can.
Well, and then there's the element of, you know, you've got a lot of people where it's like, oh, just get out of there. It's like, yeah, but this is not to shift the focus too far, but it isn't just Blizzard. We've been seeing this story out of so many companies. And to use an ironic turn of phrase, maybe the Diablo you know is better than the Diablo you don't, because who knows what you're going into if you go somewhere else. Like, the best thing you can do is shine a light on it, fix it internally, and that's what they need to do, and I'm with you. I know everybody comes out and they go, well, what do you expect from a legal statement when you're like, this is so disappointing to hear them pass it off as, you know, culture from years ago and not reflective of current culture, especially when you know it isn't true.
Right.
But they say, oh, well, that's what lawyers are always going to say. But the reason this hurts so bad is because we held Blizzard to a higher standard, and they're being knocked off a pedestal for us. Yeah. So this not doing the default thing, not doing the expected thing, wouldn't be them going above and beyond. It would be them meeting the expectation we had for them, and it's what they should have done.
Yeah, 100% agree. The complaint goes on, or this article covering it goes on, saying, according to the complaint, this was filed on Tuesday, by the way, in Los Angeles Superior Court, female employees make up around 20% of the Activision workforce, that includes Blizzard, and are subjected to, quote, pervasive frat boy workplace culture, including cube crawls in which male employees drink copious amounts of alcohol as they crawl their way through various cubicles in the office and often engage in inappropriate behavior toward female employees. I mean, mind you, this is even before COVID, because there were no cubicles for a year. Agency alleges male employees play video games during the workday while delegating responsibilities to female employees, engage in sexual banter, and joke openly about rape, among other things. Female employees working on the World of Warcraft team noted that male employees and supervisors would hit on them, making derogatory comments about rape and otherwise engage in demeaning behavior, according to the agency. Here's a rough one. The suit points to a female Activision employee who took her own life while on a company trip with her male supervisor. I mentioned this earlier. The employee had been subjected to intense sexual harassment prior to her death, including having nude photos passed around the company holiday party, again, according to the complaint. There's more detail to that that I'm not getting into. That's just hideous and gnarly and shitty. And
none of it's good.
Someone died. None of it's good. So this would have been, like I say, this would be a very different show had it not changed things up 2 weeks ago, because I really would have ended it. That would have been my mindset today. I don't think John would be here. I think it'd be just me. Garrett be on vacation. I'd just say, yeah, we're done. See you, everyone. I'm not doing this anymore. And I cannot stress enough for me how major that sounds coming out of my mouth for myself, because again, it is so burned in to who I am and what I do. And I do a lot of things now that are outside of this, of course, but at the core, there's so many relationships, so many co-hosts, so many friendships, so many experiences that sprung from the coverage of this stuff that it feels embarrassing now a little bit. And I know that's not what I should take away from this, and plenty of people have said that, and I shouldn't feel guilty about any of this. Being a fanboy, you know, is a thing we all do at one point or another about one thing or another, but I can't help but feel just betrayed, and in a way that is specific to my experience. I cannot even imagine or fathom how it feels to be betrayed on this more guttural level, like a lot of these victims have. And I know a lot of them listen to this show, and I know that this may not mean much other than to say, I have your backs, and that's it. Like, the company is wrong here. Even if somehow the company can say, well, even in those 2-year investigation, we have really improved things. Fine, you got to atone for this, man. And I don't mean everything needs to be on fire and in the ocean. I mean, do right by all of it, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And you know what it means. And maybe live up to those freaking 8 core principle things you got wrapped around that statue out front that everybody's always like, ooh, ah, look at their principles. What do those even mean now? Like, what the F were those for? And how far back does this go?
A lot of them seemed shaky before.
And you know, this isn't the first controversial moment for the company, obviously. Blizz Chung was a big deal. And, you know, there's been other moments, a bit massive layoffs, stuff around Heroes, like all of that. They just, the closure of the French office just happened, like in the last week. That was planned for a while. So there's a lot of other controversies. This is not on those levels. This is a whole new level. And there is no like walking around it. There's no dinking around with it. We're talking about human beings. Freaking fix this shit. And now, and you know what? Maybe you'll have the chance to be the beacon of the rest of this dirty business. Maybe the rest of the gaming industry, which is going through these growing pains, can look to you finally and say, you know what? They had to fall to be great again. And we learned from that. And now we're doing this and that and the other thing. Call me Pollyanna if you want, but I would love to see them do that. Do I think that'll be easy? Hell no. Do I think they'll actually do it after today's letters? Probably not.
Nah.
But they have it in their power. They have it in their power both logistically and monetarily to get that frickin' done. And it's going to take some burns, and it's going to take some dents and some bumps and bruises. And you're probably going to lose some money, which is probably the magic words why they won't do it. But it's worth it in the end. It's freaking worth it. And I'm just so grossed out about it. I mean, I don't know what to expect. We talked a little about this last night. Like, will anyone resign? If anybody does, probably J. Allen Brack will. If anyone's forced to resign, to be him. He'll take the fall. And I don't mean in a brave way. I mean, someone's going to have to.
Yeah, not in a brave way.
No.
Not a like, I'll fall on this sword.
Yeah.
But I will let the consequences of my actions or inactions, as it were, dictate a proper decision.
Yeah. What really scrubs me mad, it's not even a phrase, I just made it up. What scrubs me mad is somebody was circulating a video today from 2010's BlizzCon.
Oh, I saw this. I couldn't finish it.
I couldn't either. I couldn't finish it. It's basically all dudes, 6 dudes, primary people up on the WoW panel. It's a Q&A panel. Girl comes up to the microphone, asks a totally reasonable question. Why do all the women in the game look like they're walking out of a Victoria's Secret? And maybe we could have better representation in the game. And at first, raucous, like, yeah, woo, people in the, you know, the nearby audience gave her a big thing. But then right after that, a big hairy boo from a larger part of the audience.
Yeah.
Mostly dudes, if I had to guess. And then those guys were so shitty up there to her, including one J. Allen Brack. They were shitty to her. And it's not that this video didn't exist. It was 2010. It was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. It existed. We had it. It was on YouTube. But this context has now colored stuff. It's impossible not to notice these things now. And I'm not even saying, you know, every one of them should be burning in hell for this. I'm saying, can we please get retrospective? Can we look at this and go, oh my gosh, you're right. Can we see the patterns? Can we make a change? Otherwise, what are we freaking doing? What is this for? What are we doing? So, I don't even recommend seeking that video out because, like John said, I could barely make it. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like the first couple of responses and I went, ooh, gross. This is gross. Yeah.
Like, it was bad then. It has certainly, in light of all this, not aged well at all.
Yeah. Now, on a personal note, I can't get into big details here, but there was a moment or an occurrence at a Nerdtacular that I'd never heard about. And it involved somebody from Blizzard. And I'd never heard of it until today. I just found out today. I'm not going to give away a bunch of details because I don't want to, you know, I don't know if that person wants that shared or not, but finding out about that stuff all these years later when I thought everything went off perfectly. I had no idea. That's probably how a lot of people feel at Blizzard today. They probably are blindsided. I know there are some. I've talked to them. They're like, I had no freaking idea. And they feel guilty about that because they're just like, well, did I just not notice? Or was the culture in a way that I could have noticed, but just chose not to? Or, you know how you do, you know, let's, yeah. But those, now they've got these feelings of like, well, when should I have noticed something? I know that there are people like that. I know there are good people at Blizzard. I know there are good people in all stages of that company. There are. It's just, man, talk about a couple of real bad cat turds messing up your cake, you know, in a way that is like really damaging to those people as individuals, to this fan base who's given those guys so much freaking praise. I mean, we held them in. The lesson here might be don't hold anything in too high a regard or else you're going to get burned, man. I mean, that's a sad thing to say, but
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that level of, well, let's go back 10 years. In 2010, for me, Blizzard could do no wrong, ever. It's like, man, this is the best game ever. I'm loving this. This is great. More expansions, please. More content, please. Oh, this is so good. Oh, did you hear about StarCraft 2? That's coming. Sweet. Ah, man, what a company. No one works like they do. They're mostly artists. I love these guys. And we build this, like, vision of them that isn't real. And man, just talk about the rug getting yanked out from under you this week. But I was already frustrated, you know, we were kind of off WoW and kind of like, things aren't great. But now I'm starting to wonder, is some of this the culmination of that? Like, that's the problem. Now we have all of our heads start going, well, wait a minute, why did Morheim leave then? Maybe he knew something, or maybe he just didn't want to face the music, or maybe he was part of the problem, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. What is Dreamhaven? A bunch of ex-Blizzard people that may have the same problems. Did they leave because the heat was on? Did they leave because they were sick of the environment? Or did they leave for purely creative reasons? Probably all of the above. But now we have to ask these questions because now it's all weird.
And yeah, it's true. And it makes it extra hard because you want to say, we heard it last night with Bo. Bo said, like, man, I imagine a bunch of these people left because they wanted to get out of there. And it's like, well, you can't assume that.
Yeah.
They might have wanted to get out of there because they were like, oh, you know, we've done all the damage here we can, and it looks like we're about to get caught. Better go somewhere else and do it. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to condemn universally all of them. I'm not trying to give any of them a pass either. The truth is, we just don't know. The most important thing we can do is show that we're not going to tolerate it. We can create safe spaces for people that are victims so that they feel more okay with coming forward, because I don't fault anybody that doesn't want to. They don't get treated well. So if you treat the victims of this kindly and you don't allow any tolerance or leniency for it, that's how you fight it. Yeah. And we just have to wait and see and do the best we can.
Yeah. The one thing I would add, the irony that I've been dealing with is that one of the people that I know personally who's awesome and is a victim here, when I would go to Blizzard events or arrange anything with Blizzard, anything, 100% of the time it went smoother and felt better because that person was involved. The opposite of what anybody was doing for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like,
right,
that safe space at Blizzard that was provided for me, this nervous podcaster who's just trying to, okay, well, I don't know the rules and I don't know what to do. And yeah, I can host that. I can do this. But boy, oh boy, nobody seems to know what to tell me or whatever. There's one person who, even if I just saw her there, I went, oh, okay, we're good. We're good. That person's here. This is always good when they're here. Yeah. That person didn't have that kind of protection for themselves. And it enrages me. It makes me so freaking angry. And I've got a daughter who just graduated with a degree in video game design from a university with an actual doctorate degree. And she is trying to enter the video game workforce. She wants to do it because her whole life she grew up in my family going, video games, Dad, I know, right? And let's play them. Okay, they're cool. They're awesome. New Nintendo thing. Check it out. Hey, I'm playing WoW again. Let's play together. All right, cool. She had the same vision of Blizzard that I had because I fed her that. That part of that is me saying, look how awesome this is. Wouldn't you like to work there one day? And ironically, the company she talked about the most during her schooling were, oh, yeah, I don't know, it'd be like Blizzard or maybe Ubisoft. She's naming off these companies that have these problems. Now, maybe you could say, well, Scott, really, it's better than any time before because this is like, what did we say last night? It's like Taco Bell after food poisoning. The day of food poisoning
right,
is real bad.
Cleaned.
Yeah, it's cleaned. And now she's going to enter a workforce that is way more mindful of this stuff, is working on stuff, has stuff in place. That's really going to be the better time to enter it than it would have been, say, 5-6 years ago. Maybe. I will try to have that positive spin on it. But what you're, you know, it's a lot to ask a dad to go, all right, in the midst of some of the worst sexual harassment and victimization of women I've ever seen. Good luck to you. Have fun.
Right. It feels like throwing your child to the wolves. Like, I can't. It's not good.
Yeah. So, I don't know. All of it's bad. You want to read about it? You can. The entire court document is available freely to look at. And there's a giant Reddit thing that kind of collected everything, plus stuff that has come out since. There's been numerous people at Blizzard who have spoken up, either ex-Blizzard people or whatever, you know, talking about what they'd seen and done. And, you know, that's what happens when somebody finally feels safe enough to say something, they will. And it sucks, and I hate it. I hate everything about it. None of us needed to be this way. Just be good freaking people. Why? What and under what circumstance do I need to get super drunk, roll around the company, and make rape jokes in front of female employees? Why? What and under what circumstances do I justify that in my head? There are none. There are none. Not one. I can't think of one. Like, what is another example? I'm at BlizzCon. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's a little loose. We're eating, drinking, whatever. I think I'll take this opportunity to grab a fellow employee's boob I've had my eye on. Why? What? To what end? What are you? What are you doing? These are actual stories, by the way. I'm not making this up. These are real things that happen to these people. So anyway, it's bad. And you think it's bad. You know, someone mentioned this chat. I'll go ahead and bring it up. This isn't our first time to this horrible freaking well. When Terpstra pulled his bullshit in 2019, you saw how we had to deal with it. He had to be immediately pushed out of here. We had to end all of that. He ended it all. But we had to, you know, we had to say, nope, that's it. We're done. And I didn't know any of that was going on either. Like, I don't know what people are up to. I don't know what people are doing. I don't know how to make that any better except for try to be this ally I'm talking about. I need to try to be better at noticing. I need to be better at not being such a freaking child when it comes to my naivete about how people behave in professional settings. It boggles my mind that you do this at work or anywhere, but I mean, work. You're at work.
Again, going back to that whole notion of you need to have empathy. Like, if you're the kind of person that feels disgusted by this, you need to make sure that you can be a safe ear to hear these things, to make sure that in cases where people don't feel like it can be shared, you know, that you are a safe person to confide in. And in cases where it does need to get out there, that you can amplify those voices and give them a platform and give them a chance to speak. And again, shining a light on things is how you get it to go away. Pretending it doesn't exist doesn't. And that's not me trying to say, like, if you're a victim, you need to talk about it, because that's certainly not universally true, because in a lot of cases, victims coming forward just makes them, it puts them in the path of even more trouble. But we need to be better. Gamers need to be better. We created elements of this. Being a culture that sends death threats when something happens that we don't like helped create this environment. And I know that there are going to be people who hear that and they go, well, me getting mad because I didn't like patch 9.1 didn't lead to anybody being victimized. No, not directly, but you help create an environment where people don't feel safe talking about these things.
Yeah.
If your reaction to seeing Sylvanas in a cutscene is to threaten somebody's life, you are creating a hostile work environment for those people. And if their management isn't providing a good, safe feeling environment for those people to then vent. You're being the abusers. You're being part of the problem. You are in with these individuals. So think about it before you start threatening people, before you start rallying to have people fired and things like that. You exist on the outside. Anger isn't going to help them out very much. Taking a stand, voting with your dollars, and if you can't do that or don't want to do that or there are reasons you can't do that, just being kind to the people impacted, that's the best thing you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I noticed it hasn't had – I wondered what it would do. Their stock is actually up, weirdly. I don't understand how that works. I was sure it would go down. And the truth is, I don't want people to suffer financially, because the ones that will suffer the most are the ones that are already under the thumb of this. So, you know, some people have said, well, Scott, if you quit spending money on their games, then those people you're so worried about won't have jobs because they'll get laid off. I can't control any of that.
The people that are going to get laid off are the people that those people are taking advantage of. Yeah. Like you said, there's a nice cushion. Alex Afrasiabi is in Hawaii having the time of his life. He's not on Twitter. He's not seeing anything.
No, in fact, he quit. He deleted his Twitter as he left, which I don't know what that means. But again, you can't. All of that seemed nothing at the time. It's like, oh, why did you do that? Oh, anyway, have fun in Hawaii. Now I'm like, yeah, why did you delete your Twitter? Like, what does that mean? Was that advice from somebody? Were you pushed out? Like, and then I realized I don't actually care about the details. Like, just full stop. It's shitty. You're done. You're all being shitty. Those who are being shitty, you're being shitty. So anyway, I think that probably says it. I'm going to warn you all a little bit. The show continues on. We still have content to talk about. But come time for Garrett to be back in town and for my time with Patrick this week sometime, we're not done talking about this. I want them to have a say. I want them to be able to express their feelings, and have this same outlet that John and I are getting to have right now. I think it's important for us. You know, we'll make sure you know, so that those of you who are hearing this are going, oh, I can't do this emotional roller coaster between this and Core and then another episode of The Instance. Like, I get it, and I totally understand that. And so we will give you plenty of warning and say, yeah, this whole first half hour is, you know, Garrett getting his chance. And this whole time with Patrick is Patrick, you know, talking about his perspective and all of this, having worked there before and, you know, all that. We'll let you know. And then when the big ESO blowout comes, which John will probably hate and never listen to, that will be, you know, you'll know, is my point. I don't want you guys to feel like we're trying to destroy your ears. And we'll give you that, you know, we want you to feel that choice. So if you know that about an episode, don't download it. Don't listen to it. If you do want to hear it, you can. All right. All right. Let's move on. Hey guys, I want to talk to you about HelloFresh and good food. Because really, when I say I'm going to talk about HelloFresh, I'm just talking about good food. HelloFresh offers, like, I don't know, what is it now? 27 plus recipes? These feature a range of flavors, cuisines, ingredients, stuff you're just never going to get bored of. And you can try something every week that's brand new. It's really easy to plan meals, cook and eat deliciously with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. They're offering you guys, by the way, up to 14 free meals, plus free shipping when you go to HelloFresh.com/WOW14 and use the code WOW14. More extras than ever before. HelloFresh is using a selection of delicious add-ons, and we already knew that, but it's just getting bigger and bigger and better every week. It features quick breakfasts, quick lunches, protein, savory sides, crave-worthy desserts. Enjoy restaurant-quality meals for less in the comfort of your own home. HelloFresh offers convenient contact-free delivery as well, right to your doorstep, so you just get going and cook the thing. And I don't know, if you want to change your days, let's say you're like, I need better delivery days. Not a problem. You can change your delivery days or food preferences and skip a week whenever you need. I have had nothing but stellar experience from HelloFresh. The deliveries come on time. They come fresh. The food is amazing. And I can't wait for the next one. Go to HelloFresh.com/WOW14 and use the code WOW14 for up to 14 meals. Those are free meals. 14 free meals. plus free shipping. Go do it today. You'll be happy you did. John, should we move on?
Yes. I want to talk about Final Fantasy, Scott.
I do too. So let's do it right now. All right. The big talk of the week. What is the deal with Final Fantasy 14? Why is that game having its moment? Why is it happening now? People seem to be flocking there right now, and it's a little bit weird. You could easily say, well, this is 100% due to disillusionment with World of Warcraft, and it finally hit some critical level, and now everybody's flocking over there to check it out. You could say that some very, very popular streamers began to stream content in Final Fantasy, and that is often enough in today's weird video game world to drive droves of people over to something else. I think probably all of these things are true, but let's look at it from the perspective of somebody like John. John used to be World of Warcraft all the time, had his own show that talked about World of Warcraft, Azeroth Roundtable. That's since been put on kind of hiatus or changed a bit. So you and Ben just talk about different things. But you have gotten into this game not because of some streamer hype, not because of any other reason. You were just like, well, let's finally see what this is about. And you have become the biggest fan I know of Final Fantasy 14. Like, it's kind of gross how into it you are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that even means.
No, you're not wrong. I look in the mirror every day and I go, it's a problem. Yeah. It's really gotten bad.
I mean, do you feel like you're playing this more, as much more or something else than your heyday in World of Warcraft?
It feels like a journey back to it. I mean, if you remember those early days of WoW where it was just like you were just into every aspect of the game and you were just like, oh my gosh, it feels new and exciting and it's all I want to talk about and I want all my friends to play it so I can talk about it there and with them. Like, this is that for me. Like, this is the most back to that I've been since World of Warcraft. Mm. Like, and that is one of the biggest things that I could give it is that it made me feel like, because I was when World of Warcraft came out, made me feel like a kid again, you know, going back to that.
Sure.
And it's been a crazy journey. And it's funny because Final Fantasy 14 is a love letter to WoW in a lot of ways. The game producer and director, Yoshi P, loves World of Warcraft, and he said he wanted to make his version of it. He wanted to make Final Fantasy World of Warcraft,
right.
and it shows. And so, in a lot of ways, it is like catching lightning in a bottle for me. Like, all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh my gosh!" It feels like how it did years ago. I mean, in a lot of ways, when I heard stories of people who went back to Classic when Classic came out. And they were like, oh my gosh, I'm back. And it's like I'm a kid again and all that. I didn't get that from Classic. I had fun when I went back to it and did a little bit. But this was that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm rediscovering a new world. And I love all these systems. And I love the story I'm being told. And I love where I'm going and all the things I'm doing in it.
See, that's super interesting because I've heard that comparison before. People are like, well, if you really like Classic or you like what WoW felt like in its first few years, that's the feeling you're going to get immediately and then compounding on itself when you play Final Fantasy. And I will admit, I played, I don't know, 6 months or something. Got to level 35, something like that, and then bumped it, did the boost thing, and then found out about the story boost. We'll talk about that in a minute, but played enough of that game to I totally get what they're talking about. Like, even though this stuff is soaked in Eastern story tropes, you know, very Final Fantasy stylings, whether we're talking about characters or sort of overall anime approach to some of the storytelling and that sort of thing. Despite all of that, or you know, not that those things are bad or wrong or pejorative in any way, but despite all of that, there is an underpinning of it that just feels like I'm discovering a new place again in a way that I haven't felt since like 2004, you know, when I entered Durotar or whatever. And that speaks, you know, volumes for a lot of players because they want that. They want to get back to that feeling. You know, these games are less about perfect systems and awesome graphics and whatever than they are about how do they make you feel. And if you're an MMO player and you miss that feeling, I think you can get it here. It seems like you did.
I've said this before, and I think it's important to say, I do not think that the Venn diagram of likes World of Warcraft, likes Final Fantasy is a perfect circle. Like, I don't think that if you liked A, you're going to like B.
Yeah.
Obviously, PvP is not an enticement in Final Fantasy. It exists. It's not the reason to play it. And if that's your reason to play WoW, you're not going to be happy there. And Scott, for all the dragon beef we've had about who has better dragons between Final Fantasy and Elder Scrolls Online, I honestly think Elder Scrolls Online is a better game for you, if I'm going to be truthful, because you're the kind of person that every week on Core...
Yeah.
You come to the table and you're like, guys, I just didn't have a lot of time to game. I was on vacation and I was doing this and I had a thing with the family. Yeah. So this is the seven games I played, but that's it. That's all I played was just these seven games. Yeah. And I left some stuff off so Boop would have some stuff, but just those seven games.
All right. The other three I'll talk about on my other indie show because they're too indie to talk about here. Right.
So... you definitely are that person that you're like, let me get a sampling, let me get a taste, let me get a little bit of time in and just boom, 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 get some stuff done. And I think ESO serves that because my experience with ESO is it's very much a bunch of, you know, smaller, more self-contained stories. What am I going to go do today? And off you go and off you do it. Final Fantasy is an epic. It is a long, long story and it's very good and very rewarding, but I think you definitely prefer one of those two things in your game as far as the way you invest your time and attention.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't play something that's long,
right,
but you're like, let me see what else is out there too.
Right. I do have a tendency to do that. You're not wrong. I will completely cop to this. And part of the reason I have less of a problem, I think, with modern WoW is because other players prefer the longer haul and I kind of like the shorter takes. And in the case of ESO, their story structure is entirely shorter takes. That's the whole point of that game, is that everything is a voiceover quest line, all of it. There's nothing that isn't voiced. And they're self-contained stories that you can knock out and go, oh, man, that was an amazing thing where I rescued that dude and then came back and did this. And you're kind of, you know, you're now on to the next one of those if you want, or I log out and then come back later and do the next one of those. Like, there's a giant arc, but it's about the milieu and the in-betweens. And this game is definitely more about the arc. You're still doing a lot to get there and you're, you know, completing quests and there's plenty of side stories and there's all of that stuff in Final Fantasy. But you're not wrong. I guess what I'm trying to say in a very long way is I totally agree with that assessment. I think that's why I probably prefer ESO, at least at the moment. Like I jump around. And I won't lie. All your stories make me want to go back and resub just to kind of see what's up. Because there's some weird shit in this game.
It's good. It's really good. It's very different. I mean, I can tell people all the things that I was told getting into Final Fantasy and that they are true. It doesn't have the most exciting start. I actually think it's better than people make it out to be. They make it out to be the most boring thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But I think it's on par. I think it's just as exciting as classic WoW leveling was or Burning Crusade leveling was. I don't think it's different from that. I just think you have a lot of people that are going from, you know, modern day MMO storytelling, and then all of a sudden they're playing something that's years old, and it reflects that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is world building. You know, it's 50 levels of world building and character development before you get into the meat and potatoes of how it all works. And it doesn't want you to race through it. And I think a lot of people feel the urge to race through it because they've heard such good things are to come.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm going to get through this thing as fast as possible. And I think it's a game better savored. I actually started, I told you this yesterday on Core, I started a brand new character, which is something you don't usually do in Final Fantasy. You usually have a character because your character can do everything. Like, the concept of an alt in Final Fantasy is weird.
Yeah.
You just don't really do it because you want to be a warrior, your character's a warrior.
Yeah.
You want to now try Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Go be a Dark Knight.
They let you switch around in a way that's fairly unique in the space, actually. they, you know, without complete respecs and paying for something and all of that, like it's that, that stuff's pretty flexible. They even have a subscription model that's slightly less if you just want to make one dude. So if you only ever planned on the one guy, pay $12.99 instead of $15, and you can just have a single character slot, and that's totally doable in this game. But so if you're building that second character, is this just to, I don't know, savor it all again? Like, what's your plan there?
Yeah, so a couple reasons. One, I wanted to go through slow. I wanted to level up multiple jobs at the same time because my first playthrough, I was the kind of person that was too compelled by the story. And I just moved. I was just doing the main story as quickly as possible to get through it. And I boosted through some of the in-between A Realm Reborn and Heavensward stuff, which I regretted doing immensely. And so I want to experience that stuff fresh. Although you can do that, the game has a New Game Plus mode where you can go back and experience chapters again if you would like to. And it just basically does kind of a state reset to where you can. But I wanted to take it all in from the ground up, because the other thing about Final Fantasy is that its storytelling is a lot better than I expect from an MMO. And I'm used to WoW, where I was invested in WoW's story, but I would put on Netflix or, you know, a YouTube video or watch a stream while I played, and I could do both things. That wasn't hard to do.
No. In fact, you could argue Final it's one of the better things about the game was that you could do that, but yeah.
And Final Fantasy is the other way around. Like, everything is important to that story. That section that I was like, I'm just gonna boost through this. I don't want to do this. This is a thing. Like, I'm gonna say this and all the FF people are gonna get mad at me. I skipped the Crystal Tower, which is kind of the first raid content of the game. I was like, it's the first raid, it's the first bit of whatever, it's this big dumb tower at the end of the thing, the story clearly goes in a different direction after this. How important can the Crystal Tower really be? And in other games, the answer would be probably not that important. Final Fantasy, really important. Not for a while, but it became very, very important. And actually, they've now made it mandatory to where you have to do it. You can't skip it now.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is that game is a game where the story pays itself off constantly. And to give WoW players kind of a perspective on how story works in that game, because I'm assuming on the instance we're talking to a lot of WoW players, one of my frustrations with the current WoW story is that it moves at such a snail's pace. You know, it's like we're dealing with the stuff that gets introduced at the beginning of the expansion. We still haven't resolved that. And it's like, okay, well, here's a cutscene. Now wait 6 months to see what happened 10 minutes later. And that's such a rough feeling for me. Final Fantasy expansions tell a complete story in their out-of-the-box day one expansion. So your 3.0 story is a complete story. You are introduced to what's going on. You have an objective. By the end of the expansion, you've probably completed that objective. Now, it throws in additional story hooks and elements that will eventually get resolved later. So it's not that it completely ties up every loose end. But for people that where story matters, just know you're going to get better payoffs. Like, and that has been important to me as somebody who has felt strung along on the friggin' Sylvanas story for ever. Feels like that's been going on for a long time.
We're still being strung along on it. Still feels that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So the story is very good. And that's what is most important to me in an MMO. And that's what Final Fantasy is getting very right. Yeah. So that's another thing. But the thing that surprised me the most maybe was that the end game was as compelling as it was, because I assumed I would get through the story, I was really invested in it, and I'd be done.
Yeah.
And I'd just say, okay, well, that was my time in Final Fantasy. It was a good run. I'll be back when an expansion comes out. I'm out of here. But it turns out I really like the end game. I'm doing things in Final Fantasy that I've been sick of doing in WoW for a long time. I've been doing raids, I've been doing dungeons, I've been doing rep grinds.
Stuff you hate.
It's stuff I hate. It's stuff I really, really hate. And just today, I got excited. I was like, oh, man, tomorrow I'm going to get a new mount because I'm going to wrap up with the Pixies. And the Pixies are going to like me. Yeah. And I'm going to fly around on a flying pig. This is going to be so good. I'm so excited for it. And but the thing is they just do it really well. The game feels very rewarding. And I think that's probably its biggest strength, is it feels like the game is respectful of your time.
Yeah.
And that's what has meant the most to me. I kind of famously got my friend Ben into World of Warcraft by saying, it's like somebody comes into your room and gives you a present every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was how I described WoW Classic to somebody, was like, every hour somebody's going to come into the room and give you a present. That's what playing WoW feels like, because that seemed about right with when you leveled and you got something every level at the time and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This actually feels like that.
Yeah.
I put in 15 minutes and my rep grind is done. That's all it took. I've done my 3 quests. That's all I can do. And when I hit a new level, I get a new story and I get new stuff to unlock, and it feels right and it feels the way it should work. Raids, Scott, there's no trash in the raids.
I know. This is another thing you hate. No, you don't like that trash, son.
Well, there is in a thing called Alliance Raids. There's 2 different types of raids in Final Fantasy. So before people correct me, there is trash in Alliance Raids. But it's like, okay, you had to fight 2 sets of trash between your boss. It took 3 minutes. You're fine. But for some of the raids, you just literally queue for a boss. You're like, I want to fight that boss. Okay, go fight that boss. That was super fun.
I love that.
I want to do that again.
Yeah, that seems good, because then you're just like, it's not even like it leaves you with the feeling. See, I played a bunch of that too, just some of the single boss fight stuff that was in the middle of the game. And I remember feeling like, well, this is going to feel insubstantial. Like you're just skipping everything. So this is like a, you know, like a bad first person shooter level. You just are right to the goal, you know, and it's not like that. It turns out you don't need all that trash to make it feel fulfilling. In fact, if anything, the trash just makes me feel like they're filling it with trash. And and that surprised me. I came away a little shocked by that, because I didn't expect it. I just thought the template was trash, 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 maybe a mini boss, bunch more trash, and then finally the thing you really went in there for. And this game's like, well, what if you just went in and there was a dude fought it, and he was fun and complicated and hard and all that, but at the end of the day, you just fought a dude and got a drop, and you walked out of there with a hot new pair of pants.
Woo! Yep. Yep. You know? Get your pants.
Yeah, get your pants on, son.
I got a nightmare story with pants, though.
Give me a pants story. Go.
Okay, so the way their raids work, I'm going to try and make this a little quick, and it's going to sound confusing, but all I can really say is it's a lot less complicated than it sounds.
Yeah.
The way we'll say the Eden raid, which is one of the current raids in the game, the way the Eden raid works is when the game came out in the initial launch of the Eden raid, it's 4 bosses. You queue for them separately, and they all have drops, kind of like how Lich King did, where you're not getting a specific item, you're getting boots, you know, some type of boots. Yeah. They got a name,
sure.
But like you're getting items that represent a armor slot, not actual armor itself. And you collect those tokens. So in the case of boots, you collect 2 of them, and then that can be exchanged to get the armor you want. And so it's not, you're not going, oh, I looted the pair of boots, I got the one pair that I needed. You're buying what you want in kind of targeted upgrade from these tokens that are dropping. And so you have basically from those 4 bosses, there's a complete set with its own look. It doesn't have set bonuses. It's not like WoW sets, but it's, you know, got the same item level essentially and appearance to it. Then when they do a patch, and there's also a story tied to that, because again, story is attached to everything. So there, it tells a story. Then when a patch comes out, the next set of the Eden raids come out. That's the next 4 bosses. Same deal there. They all drop tokens for all the slots. There's a whole new look and appearance, and the item level's higher.
Okay.
In addition, you have hard modes where you can upgrade the gear.
Okay.
So,
all right. The hard modes, so would you call those? I mean, what? That's not quite the same as like a What are the WoW? I can't even think of them now.
It's sort of like heroics.
Heroics.
It's like do the fight again, but with new mechanics and stuff like that.
So like mythic affixes, that sort of thing. They've got a system for that in there, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you do the normal mode. That unlocks the heroic mode, essentially. We'll just use WoW terms. And then that gives you, the one gives you the gear, the other gives you the items to upgrade the gear. Then the next four bosses come out and you're replacing all the gear with the new stuff because it's better.
Yeah.
And then there's a new heroic set to upgrade the improved stuff. The cool thing about how this works is, one, you have to go through it linearly. You can't just say like, oh, I join late, I'm going to go to the highest difficulty. You have to go through the lower difficulties to the upper. Mm. But the reason that works out really cool is, so obviously I came to it later than everybody else because we're almost done with the expansion and I only just got to it. So my first set of four bosses, I went in and was like, okay, well, all of this is an upgrade for my fresh little tune. I'm going to roll neat on everything. And I did those four bosses and I got a complete set of armor because nobody else was rolling for it.
Oh, wow.
So I walked away with all my tokens, handed them in, and someone said, here's your armor. Yep. Go have fun. Wow. Did the next set of bosses. Got a lot of upgrades because now we're getting into the territory where more people are rolling for it, right? So there's actually some competition for the tokens that are dropping. Got some upgrades. Did that four set of bosses again. Completed the look. Got everything. Now we're up to the final four. I do those. Now we're into competitive. Now everybody's rolling neat on these tokens. And I did really good. I did a bunch of runs. I earned a bunch of tokens. But I couldn't for the life of me get a pair of pants. Nobody was letting me get those pants. The pants were highly sought after.
Yeah.
So I probably did five or six runs where all I needed was pants and just never won on the roll. Well, but the nice thing is they also have a background currency that you're earning, like kind of Lich King Days, Justice and Valor.
Oh, yeah.
I was able to buy it from the currency.
Oh, okay. So you've got alternatives. Also,
yeah, you can supplement it, or they can be crafted, or you can buy from the auction house. Like, if you want to gear up your character, there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
Right. Now, some have said, and prior to this episode today, I've had people pop in and say, Scott, you should talk to John about how this game successfully, mind you, but still is basically one of gaming's biggest amusement parks. But they do it better than anyone, including WoW, which is also gets accused of that sometimes. You were talking yesterday, or I think it was on Core, maybe the week before, you were talking about how you're spending a bunch of time in a casino-like zone and doing all kinds of mini games and just weird shit. And I guess what I'm asking is, are they successful at creating that feeling of like, I'm in Disneyland and I can do whatever I want, and I actually like saying that. Like, that's actually a positive in this game.
I think so, because when you think of Disneyland and you get to that main square and it's like, okay, we got Tomorrowland to the right of me, I got Adventureland to the left, and where do I want to go? And you feel like the whole park is open to you and there's so much you want to go and do if you're into Disneyland. It's very exciting. That's kind of what this is. Like, if I log on to my main character right now, most people only have one main character, but here I am waiting for the expansion, right? Could be a boring time. I have a relic weapon that I can work on upgrading, which is basically a pretty good item level. It gets to be one of the most powerful weapons in the game with lots of cool glowy effects. You know, it's not like the artifact weapon, which I think is what most people would draw, but it's sort of like a prestige item that has a big, long of an involved quest around it to work on. So I can work on my relic weapon. I can do what's called roulettes in those, which is basically you don't queue for a specific dungeon or raid. You basically just say, I would like to raid. And it looks at people that are looking for parties. Maybe they're looking for a specific raid. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're doing the roulette as well. And they will just put you in a raid and just say, go help these people. And they'll give you a bigger bonus because you're doing random instead of specific. Mm. So I could work on roulettes for raids or dungeons or whatever I wanted and earn stuff that way. I could do targeted upgrades for gear. I could do PvP. I could go to the Golden Saucer, which is what we were talking about, which is the giant casino. It's sort of like the Dark Moon Fair in WoW, except it's open all the time. And I am hopelessly addicted to the Golden Saucer right now. It has really fun mini games in it, and it's just a blast. I get stuck in it. My wife is hooked on it now because there are some mini games that involve math and statistics, and she's just like, she comes in and she's just like, yes, let's do this.
Yeah.
I could do, there's a card game that I've gotten hooked on doing where you can do like a card battler, and you can do it with NPCs as well as other players. That has become a thing. I'm forgetting probably a number. I could go level another job. Like right now, the only job I have up to level 80 is samurai. Mm. I could work on any number of jobs that I wanted. And it's just crazy. Like I that's the stuff that comes to my head immediately that I could get in and do. But there's a whole thing. There's a trust system in the newest expansion where basically you can run dungeons with NPCs instead of people. Yeah. They're actually pretty intelligent, and you can actually learn mechanics by watching these NPCs. But you can level them up and level them up so you can do additional dungeons with them and do additional things. I work on leveling up my trust companions and getting them all leveled up. Like, there is so much to do in this game that I log in and I just go, man, I could do a lot, but none of it feels mandatory. Like, that's the other crazy part. I log in and it's a bunch of things I want to do. There's nothing that I feel like I have to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the big line I would draw between how I feel when I log into WoW right now and how I feel when I log into Final Fantasy. WoW feels like, here's your list of chores, here's what you have to go do. Final Fantasy feels like, okay, there's a lot of stuff you can do. What do you want to go do?
Yeah, and it's all stuff you kind of want to do. And if it's stuff you don't want to do, you really don't have to do it.
Yeah, just skip it.
That's a big deal.
I'm doing a rep grind with the Pixies, not because there's anything I need to have. I'm doing it because I want to, because I think the Pixies are hilarious. They play pranks on people. Mm-hmm. One of my daily quests is to just run up to a Pixie that's hiding and yell beavers at it. That's all I do. That's the whole quest, Scott.
Wow.
I fly up to a Pixie and I go up to him and I go, beavers. Yeah. And he goes, you found me. All right, get out of here. And that's my daily quest. That's it. And it's just
thing.
Fun.
Yeah. That's an odd, odd thing. But I think that's where it's getting this reputation of, and again, in a positive way, of being a kind of a place where you can just go have whatever fun you're feeling like at the moment. And I don't know if too many MMOs can really claim that, like including WoW. WoW's like, well, if you're in this expansion, here are the four things, the major four things you can do. Now you can go make some new characters and relive some story and, you know, go do, you know, classic if you want. Like they've given you some options, but the main game options are limited in this as compared to this. There's a danger there that even if you have a million things to do, they could all be bad, and then you're left with the same problem. But it doesn't sound like they've done that. They've hit an equilibrium there, and it works well. That's good to hear.
I see a lot of
go ahead.
I see a lot of people saying, talk about flying and how you unlock flying. I do think this is a really cool thing. So I feel like I should share this. Because
go for it. Chocobos. Let's
Scott, you and I have both done WoW shows. Yeah. And the amount of times we've had to dedicate time to, when do you unlock flying? How's flying? Should you fly? When can you fly? How's flying going to work?
Yeah,
it's a lot. It comes up every expansion. It becomes a thing every expansion. And it's one of my least favorite discussions to have. So here's how flying works in Final Fantasy.
All right.
I think they nailed it. So when you are in a zone, there are these green orbs throughout the zone.
Yeah.
They give you a compass that will point you in the direction of them so that it's not like you just have to go find them or you have to look up a guide. They will kind of point you to where you are. And once you have collected all of those as well as some of these you are earning through doing the story quest of the zone. So, for example, your introduction quest, they may be like, oh, hero, you've come to this land. We need you to go deal with such and such. And then you look at the quest rewards. It's like, okay, it's going to give you gold, experience, a new shirt, and they'll give you an ether current.
Just once no pants. Have all no, no pants. Yeah. Nobody gets pants.
Yeah. Nobody gets pants. Yeah. There's no pants.
Yeah.
No pants. So once you have all the ether currents for a zone, you can fly.
Yeah.
That's how it works. It's a collectible. Right. You get it from story quests. I think in one case you have to do a dungeon to get it, but you get it from quests and you get it from exploring the world. So basically the ironic thing is it's the thing that Blizzard always says, well, we don't want you to be able to fly until we feel like you've experienced the story and explored the zone. Mm. Well, Final Fantasy gives it to you right away as long as you do those two things. You do the story that gives you all the little currents, and then you go find them, and then you can fly in that zone immediately.
Yeah, it's like a per zone solution instead of saying, well, the entirety of the expansion can be yours if you only grind out 4 million things. It's more like you can just go do it if you want.
And it's fun. Like again, crazy thing. It's fun to get. It's fun to go and look for these orbs. It's like a little scavenger hunt. The story is what you were there for anyway, probably. So, you know, they weren't asking a lot for you to just keep doing the story. But you get it, and then you can fly. And you know what? If you don't want to do it, you can just ride around on the ground. There's no
chocobo ground.
There's no punishment for it. Yeah.
Chocobos everywhere. That's one of the weird things about the game is everything's kind of a version of a chocobo. But then that's not true, because I've seen people in the car from Final Fantasy 15. I've seen people in all kinds of weird shit, mech looking things. Well, you just talked about one last night. So there's variety, right? It's not just Chocobo Town.
Oh, there's an insane amount of mounts. And Scott, I got to tell you this. This is the funniest thing in the world to me. I didn't know this was true, and I discovered it recently.
Okay.
So, The game does have, although most of the time you're going to reach the level that you would have been at the time so that you're playing challenging content, there are ways to go into old zones and complete them at level where it's easy and it's going to be a cakewalk for you. Mm-hmm. And I started doing some of that to collect some mounts.
Right.
And mounts that you get from bosses.
Yeah.
When you ride them, if you have your mount music turned on, because you know when you ride the chocobo, it plays a little chocobo music, as you're running around. Mounts that drop from bosses play the boss theme music when you ride them.
Oh, wow. See, I knew that it played a theme that you can actually turn off because mine does, but I thought it was just the one theme. I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
So here's the thing I love. I have a horse in that game.
Yeah.
He's not the coolest looking mount in the world, but it's a glowy horse that when I ride, it just starts blaring heavy metal music. And it is the funniest thing in the world to me that as I'm riding around on this horse, it just sounds like a van with heavy metal, like going by. It's just me on my horse as heavy metal music comes out of this horse as I'm riding it.
That's pretty
great. It is amazing. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I have to admit, there's a certain whimsy to this stuff that they've just like gone all in on that I respect. I think that's pretty cool. I kind of like my fantasy. I need my fantasy to be hard and serious or just goofball it out. I'm not normally one that likes much in between or where I feel hesitancy on both of it. This thing wants to tell a big, huge story. It's a big, epic one. It does have emotion, but at the same time, chocobo is fat and plays a weird song when I ride it. You know what I mean? Like you get this combination that's pretty unique, I think, in the space right now. Now there are plenty of Asian market, origin or, you know, MMOs that have come from the Asian side of things, with different design sensibilities and that sort of thing. This is clearly the biggest. I got an email from a listener I'm going to read real quick that I just wanted to mention. He says, hey, Instance Peeps, love the new direction of the show and I'm here for it. I know that we tend to dismiss any games made in China outright these days, but have you guys considered taking a look at Swords of Legends Online? John thinks this was made with a name generator and he might not be wrong. Anyway, he says, it's a really cool action-based MMO based on ancient Chinese myth and some good old-fashioned fantasy thrown in. Plus, it's gorgeous. I really think it might be worth your time. It's a premium game, $39 US, and has no monthly fees. Keep on keeping on, Tyler B. So Tyler, I have a key. I haven't installed it yet. We talked about it on Core a little bit last night. I'm going to take a look at it. I don't have that weird gut reaction to just, you know, piss off something from China. I don't know why. It just doesn't, you know, I know a lot of people are like, well, it's all going to collect your info and, you know, this sort of thing. And I understand those fears in some cases may be totally legitimate. But if I see a thing on Steam and it's like, oh, Chinese developers, I'd like to see what they're doing. I don't have this weird gaming xenophobia that some players seem to have. So I'm going to try it out and play it. And I will come back and tell you what I think, if it's any good or not. And maybe it will be. I don't know. But yeah, so the Swords of Legends, John. Swords of Legends.
Swords of Legends.
It's supposed to be based on, well, like he said, it's based on like Chinese myths. And that's interesting because I don't know a lot of those. So I'd be curious about some of that stuff. And, you know, a nice, fun, action-y game could be cool. All right, back to this. The next expansion is called what in Final Fantasy? What's the name of this upcoming thing?
It's going to be called Endwalker.
Endwalker. And tell the folks, because you explained this to me before, and I think you did a pretty good job, but I've kind of forgotten how this is going. But isn't this designed to be the wrap-up of this Realm Reborn business? And what does that mean? Does the game change gears? Is this the end of Final Fantasy 14 as we know it? Does it just continue into the ether without any major content updates? Like, I don't actually understand what they mean when they say that this wraps everything up. So tell me what you know about Endwalker.
The exciting thing is we don't entirely know. Yeah. Now, the thing is, they have said the game's going to keep going, but that it's going to wrap up the current story. But we don't 100% know what that means. So they've said that it's going to wrap up a thing called the Zodiark story, which is kind of, it would be the equivalent of like if Blizzard said, we're going to wrap up the Old Gods. Mm. Like, we're not going to do anything more with Old Gods anymore.
Right.
So it's sort of a case of it's never been the focus of any of the expansions necessarily, mm-hmm. but it's always been a undercurrent to the story as it goes through. But we don't know. The assumption is that it will probably wrap up again, because usually the expansion is pretty self-contained to a degree. It will probably wrap up in the entirety of the boxed copy, I would assume. But that's the other crazy thing about Final Fantasy is they don't do a test. They don't do a beta test. There's no alpha. There's no beta. We don't know what's going to be in Endwalker until we play it.
We know that there'll be a pair of metal boots that leave a Square Enix logo in the moon dust. We know that.
Yes, you can get those.
Yeah.
That's 100% canon.
Yeah,
that's
that
in
feels
the video.
Canon. Yeah, it's good to know. Confirmation.
So because there's no PTR, we don't know. There's no data mining. Nobody has said, like, here's the sweet in cinematic to Endwalker, you know, 3 months before it came out. Check it out. Here's where the story's going. So, but they have said that, yes, it's going to tie up the story. So presumably, you know, you're going, if you're the kind of person that's like, I need resolution and MMOs don't resolve, this is going to be a game where that happens.
Big resolution. Some of the chat are saying, look, since 1.0, there are story elements that still haven't been fully, you know, expunged, like done, finished out from the beginning. And so there's a chance here for a lot of that stuff to be sewn up. And then whatever the next chapter is, the next chapter. I mean, they're doing so well right now. There's no way this is them ending a game. I think they're just ending an era in the game. And
we've experienced unprecedented growth. We're done.
Yeah, we're out.
So we're out.
Do you think, just as a side thing, do you think that this exodus from WoW and other games to Final Fantasy is primarily a disillusionment thing with the game that they all thought would never leave, but now they're like, eh, it's not doing it for me anymore? Or is there something else going on here? Is it the game on its own terms? Like, I don't know quite how to quantify that move.
I think it's kind of both, because I think what's happening is, this isn't the first time people have been disillusioned with WoW, mm-hmm. certainly.
Sure.
You know, everybody can kind of point, you know, there's the common joke of every other expansion is good, which held true maybe until now, depending on how you feel. But there've definitely been times where people have gotten that wanderlust of, let me go see what else is out there. I think in this case, and I think the reason it's really taking off is partially because people are getting maybe in greater numbers fed up with what WoW's doing. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it comes down to when they go to other games, and specifically Final Fantasy, as we're talking about, they're going, oh, this is actually what I was looking for.
Right.
Like, I think that Wanderlust is going to happen no matter what, but I think we're seeing the migration and it holding, not just because of how Blizzard's doing with their game, but because they're going there and they're actually going, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
Like, this is no joke. Like, there are probably things I like about this better. And I know for me, like, I went there and went, oh, this is a better game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be everybody's opinion. I'm not going to guarantee everyone will like Final Fantasy more. But I went over there and went, oh, this does almost everything that matters to me better than WoW is doing it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm here.
Well, there are now more choices than ever. So players who are feeling that wanderlust have options. And it seems like Final Fantasy 14 is chief among them at the moment. So whatever all these reasons are, combined or separate, they're having their moment. They are indeed having their moment. So enjoy if that's what you're doing. John, incredibly fun having you hanging out with me today to talk about this and the awful stuff we had to talk about at the top of the show. So well done on that. Tell the fine folks anything else you want them to know about where to find more of your content or where else they can find the voice of John Jagger.
Best place is to catch me here on the Frog Pants Network, where I talk about some of the same stuff on a show called Core. And we talk about video games there, Scott. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have. It's a fun little show. Fun story. That one also started out as a Blizzard-centric show. We talked about Heroes of the Storm primarily in those days. But some years ago, we around the time Blizzard decided to stop being serious about Heroes, we decided to stop being donated to it or dedicated to it. So we now cover everything, consoles, the big issues, the big industry stuff, including some of this Blizzard stuff. But we talk about big stuff happening in other spaces, like what's going on with that Steam Deck and, you know, what can we expect from Game Pass this year? And is this Microsoft's moment to shine? And what the hell is going on with cloud gaming? All these questions and more can happen with all three of us, me, Bo, and John, every Thursday night at Core. So go check it out. Core Show, or you can find it on, Core. I can't even talk. You can find us at frogpants.com/core, but anywhere you get your podcast, just search for Core and there it is. Boop. It's in your player. You're listening to episodes. You can come watch us live if you want to as well. Yeah. All right.
Then we play Dungeons and Dragons on There Will Be Dungeons.
Oh, yeah. We play That's Dungeons and Dragons. Us. Yeah. And we do that on Sundays or Saturdays. So come watch us this Saturday at 2 p.m. Mountain, right? Yeah, yes, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, and hang out with us while we play Dungeons and or Dragons right here on the Frog Pants Network. All right, I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for hanging out with us, for being here in general. We really, really appreciate it, and we'll be back next week. Like I said, Garrett will be here. There might be a supplementary episode between now and then with Patrick. It just kind of depends on lining up our international schedules, so we'll let you know and give you plenty of warning on those. And in the meantime, check us out at theinstance.net. You can support us there. You can contact us there. You can find our Twitter stuff there. All of it's there. But most importantly, send us your feedback. theinstance@gmail.com. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.